Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
We're
ready
to
party.
I hope you bring lots of spaghetti.
I'm scared.
Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends. Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends. Dancing,
fiesta,
romancing,
siesta,
samba,
la bamba,
ay caramba,
disguises,
surprises,
and pies of
all sizes. Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends.
Penelope's back today, folks. Some women just can't get enough of me. Thank you. Thank you for that lovely seated ovation. Tonight I shall read the great poem, The Pied Piper of Hamelin, by some poet guy. The Pied Piper by some poet guy. A couple hundred years ago in Hamelin by the Bay, there was a lovely city where the children were at play. The food was great in Hamelin. Almost all the traveled books agreed that Hamelin had the best in fine Italian cooks. The cuisine was the very best. The people grew and thrived until the day one summer when the rodents all arrived. No one knows where they came from nor what caused the sudden boom, but soon the town was swarming with a rat in every room. The mice were in the buildings, in the churches, in the schools. They filled the local marketplace and all the swimming pools. You'd open up a cupboard and you'd find them in your grub. When someone tried to take a bath, the mice would share the tub. The worst of it was that the chefs could not make food to please. You cannot cook Italian when the rodents take your cheese. The people stormed the castle and were brief and most concise, demanding that the king should act to rid their town of mice. Alas, the people had a king as craven as could be, who never ever would accept responsibility. The timid James II, more evasive than a bird, would not admit involvement in the birth of James III. And as with any problem, his reaction was the same.
You needn't find solutions if you find someone to blame.
The king called his advisors, and they huddled to determine just whom to hold responsible for getting rid of vermin. The king explained the goal was not to stop the mice assault.
I need someone that I can hold completely and at fault.
They studied all the choices, all the scapegoats and buffoons, and picked a man named John who was a maker of cartoons. They brought him to the king, who told this lowly illustrator,
"From now on, your new title is the town exterminator."
The young man said,
"I know the mice are most unwelcome guests, but I know not the first thing about getting rid of pests."
"I promise to support your plans,"
the royal coward said.
"Just do the job and do it well, and you'll not lose your head."
The king took to his balcony and regally decreed that John would drive the mice away with all apparent speed. He then fled to his throne room, feeling sorry for the schnook, for John was on the hot seat and the king was off the hook. At first, the people welcomed John, some sparse applause and cheers, but then they all went running when he asked for volunteers. Without a single ally, no assistance or advice, the one named John set out to rid the village of the mice. He tried to chase the rodents, but they only chased him back. There were too many mice for John to mount a true attack. He tried to set up traps for them. They mocked his sad attempt. The mice laughed at him all the day, and even while he dreamt. He tried each store-bought product, every mice-controlling spray, and not a single one of them drove one small mouse away. The people started to complain. John's mood was very down. The day a handsome stranger chanced to venture into town. The stranger's fame preceded him, the honors and the glory. And why'd it take so long to get a cat into the story? "My name is the Pied Piper. I play horn and I'm a dancer." John asked,
"Why do they call you Pied?"
The cat said, "Here's your answer. You have a rodent problem. Let me lay an offer on you. I'll solve it if you'll pay me in spaghetti and lasagna."
"The king will surely pay that price,"
thought John with gratitude,
"to get rid of the mice for just some cheap Italian food."
And so the deal was confirmed, both parties satisfied. The piper took his pipe out and, of course, was quickly pied. His music had two strange effects in different neighborhoods. It caused the mice to get in step while humans threw baked goods. The rodents were all victims of his musical harangue. Most humans held their ears in pain and hurled a mean meringue. In spite of that, he went to work throughout the afternoon. The piper danced around the town and played his catchy tune. The rats came in all sizes, from the skinny to the wide, and fell in step behind the one continually pied. From everywhere in Hamelin, mice were dancing from their holes. The piper kept on playing, dodging bagels, cakes, and rolls. And soon he gathered all the mice in many shades and colors. They'd put the piper to the test. He'd pass with flying crullers. He led the mice right out of town. The people started cheering the minute that they realized the mice were disappearing. But none was quite as happy as the lad the king recruited. He'd solved the mouse dilemma without getting executed. But when he went to tell the king they owed the cat a meal, he found his highness not inclined to honor any deal. The king said,
"You may think it cheap for driving off the mice, but go and tell your piper that I will not pay his price. To do so would be to admit I had to get a hand. The people must believe their king was fully in command."
He had the young man dragged away and ordered a parade, while John went down to tell the cat he'd not be getting paid.
"I promised you lasagna, but the king won't pay your fee."
The piper wasn't too surprised. He said, "Leave this to me. When I play the forbidden notes, and this is not a boast, I'll take away the beings that this town will miss the most." He made a strange adjustment to the valves upon his pipe and started in to play a tune of some uncanny type. The young man had a scary thought, and he was heard to say,
"You're going to take the children of the village all away."
The piper stopped his brand new tune and said, "You must be deaf. Who needs a bunch of children? I want every pasta chef." And so the piper played the song, which quickly overtook each citizen of Hamelin who was an Italian cook. From every pizzeria, they fell in behind the kitty, who led them off to somewhere far away from Hamelin City. The people were so angry that they overthrew the king, the only time he'd ever taken blame for anything. They never saw the chefs again, but this much we can tell. Wherever the Pied Piper was, he sure was eating well. The end. "Excuse me, sir." That's what's known as burying the needle on the wake-up meter.
Oh, hello. I'm Roy Rooster, comedy star of this cartoon. Today, I'd like to step out from behind my usual role and talk to you about a very important subject. Comedy. Whoops. Excuse me one moment. Boy, first time on the show I get a role with pants and I forget to wear them. Comedy. I am responsible for most of it on this program. Let me show you two brief examples of my work. This is from the episode Hiya Hun, in which I convince Wade that Attila the Hun is attacking the farm. Wait, you gotta warn everyone! Attila the Hun is attacking!
Attila the Hun? But he's been dead for 1,500 years.
A trick to catch everyone off guard. The Huns are attacking. Someone has to warn Istanbul. Yeah, I'm a goner, but you must alert them.
Help, help! Attila the Hun possibly attacking. Help, oh, help! Attila the Hun alert. Second time today. Help, oh, help!
me, "That's not funny." And the best part was, I did it to him then and three more times in the reruns. All right, now, here's a rotten thing I did to Orson last season. Maestro?
Beware of the splut. The splut is coming. What is the splut?
One quart of milk.
Roy?
5 cups of flour.
Have you seen these signs that say beware of the splut?
One whole mess of sugar.
Uh-huh. What is the splut?
What is what?
The splut.
I know. It's coming. I'm making a cake in honor of it.
But what is it?
What's what, Orson?
Oh, never mind. I'll ask someone else. Bo, what do you know about this splut that's coming?
Yes!
Never mind.
Happy splut, Orson! Now then, we all find these two scenes funny. Why do I find them funny? Because they didn't happen to me. And why do you find them funny? Because they didn't happen to you. Now, why am I telling you all this? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, members of my fan club, both of you, I am giving up practical jokes. Not by choice, mind you, but by necessity. It all began yesterday when I got a call. Cue the flashback.
Phone call for Roy Rooster.
Tell him I'm busy.
But it's the network.
Not the network. Hiya, babe. What's happening? How are the numbers? Let's sky to Gotham for confabs.
Roy, this is the network. Come see us at the office right away.
I hurried right to their offices. You don't kid around when you get a call from the network.
Come in, Roy. Roy, I'll get right to the point. You do a lot of practical jokes on your show. Panicking the duck, dumping food on the pig. What was his name?
Orson.
Orson, right. Major talent there. Well, Roy, it seems we've gotten complaints about your so-called jokes.
Complaints?
More specifically, we received a letter.
No! Not a letter! I studied it closer, and there was no doubt about it. It was a letter. It was from a woman in Boise, Idaho, and it said,
"Dear TV station, I find the antics of Roy Rooster tasteless, cruel, and unfunny. Sincerely, Mrs. Edna W. Outrage."
Roy, we're in the business of pleasing viewers. Do you know what this means? It means you're fired.
No! Can't do this to me. Show business is my life. You can't cancel me. I don't want to be a trivia question, please.
Well, maybe if you cut out the practical jokes.
They're cut. They're gone. No more pies, no more lies, no more spluts. That's me, Wholesome Humor Roy.
And you can stay.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, from now on, you'll be seeing a different Roy here. And now, I have to get into my working clothes, and we can start this episode with the new Roy in it. Mrs. Outraged, I hope you're happy.
Oh, hi, Roy. Causing trouble?
Oh, no. You know me, Orson. I never cause trouble.
I'm packing a picnic lunch. Oh, you see that pie over there?
That pie over there?
Yes. Would you let me have it?
Sure. I'll let you have it. No, I can't do that anymore. I promised the network.
Something wrong, Roy? Just pick up the pie and let me have it.
Hi, Roy. You haven't seen any scary things around here, have you?
No, I haven't.
Roy, what's wrong with you? You know where the pie belongs. Now pick it up and let me have it.
No! I can't live like this. I can't do it. The strain is too much. I can't do it.
it! I can't do it! I can't do it! Cancel me if you have to! Stick me on a show with the Buddy Bears! Practical joking is my life! I don't care if you get two letters or even three letters! I can't stop doing it! I can't! I can't!
Roy, if you feel that way... As I said, if you feel that way, you can go back to practical joking.
Orson, it's you.
And me too.
You know, Roy, you're right. Practical jokes are a lot of fun.
As long as they happen to someone else.
Come on, Roy, can't you take a joke?
It doesn't look that way.
I'll get you! You'll taste meringue, you network imposters!
Yeah, well, Roy always was a very good sport.
Where's a banana when you eat one?
I'm bored. I'm really bored. Boy, am I bored. Bored am I. So bored. For those of you who speak Spanish, yo soy un bordo pussycato. Really bored. No, I don't feel like eating lasagna. Besides, the only thing in the kitchen is John's old meatloaf. Yeah. No, I don't feel like taking a nap. No. I don't even feel like kicking you off the table. No, I don't even feel like going out and chasing birds. Chasing birds. Odie, there are times when you almost seem to have half a brain in that doggy skull of yours. I'll go chase birds.
Huh? Lolo?
Yes, Father dear.
I'm going to go round up something for dinner. You go wash up and don't get into any trouble.
Yes, Father dear. Oops, the bird bath is this way.
Super fast gelatin parfait dessert mix. I think I'll make a little bird pudding. Well, what have we here? Flap all you want, birds. It won't do you any good. It won't... Hey! Come back here! Come back with my dessert, at least! Hey, this stuff ain't bad.
Oh, I hate to order, but my father dear says I must wash. The water is cold. I will shut my little eyes very tight and just dive in. 1, 2, 3. Help! I'm drowning! Help!
I wonder how many calories this stuff has when you make it with bird's feet.
Help! Lifeguard! Help! Help!
Have you tried standing up?
Help! I'm drowning! Help! I'm... Well... If you want to do it the easy way.
I did it. I caught a bird. Odie, I did it. I caught a bird. A for real bird. With feathers and everything. What am I going to do with it? What do you think I'm going to do with it? I'm going to... How should I know? I never caught one before. What shall I do with them?
Could I make a suggestion?
You keep out of this. You don't get a vote. What do I do with anything? I eat it, I watch it, or I sleep on it. It's simple. I'll eat them. Hey, since when does anyone tell me I can't eat what I want to eat? Odie, old pal, I want to eat the bird, and you don't want me to eat the bird. So there's only one way to settle this. Go! And stay out.
Yeah, and stay out.
Hey, if I have to warn you one more time... Okay. Mealtime, Bertie.
My name is Ludlow.
Your name is Lunch.
No lettuce and tomato?
Lettuce and tomato. There.
No mayonnaise? This tickles. No pickles, ketchup, or mustard? I wish I could stay and play sandwich with the kitty, but Father Deer will be looking for me. Pretty thin sandwich without me. I'll find him something else.
Pickles, mustard, ketchup. I better get some olives. Why am I letting my sandwich decide what goes into my sandwich?
The only thing I could find for the kitty sandwich was this old meatloaf.
Okay, sandwich, no more stalling. Gee, I thought he'd taste better than this. Almost tastes like John's old meatloaf. You'd think a cute little fellow like that would... No, don't think like that. He was a bird. A cute, harmless little birdie. Oh, now my stomach hurts. I must have eaten someone who disagreed with me.
Ludlow? Ludlow, where are you?
Odie, this is all your fault. Yes, yours. You suggested chasing birds. Because of your suggestion, I made a sandwich out of that cute little bird named Ludlow.
What? You what? What? You eat my
old
boy?
Hey.
Oh, get out of this.
Ow.
I'll take this.
Hey, that hurt.
Ow.
Oh. What are you doing? Stop it.
Hey.
Why is my father dear doing that to the kitty cat?
Ludlow, son, you're okay. You haven't been harmed.
I wish I could say that.
Come on, I'm not letting you out of my sight again, son.
Goodbye, Mr. Kitty Cat. Let's play again sometime.
I'm bored. I'm bored and I'm injured. Injured and bored. I couldn't move a toenail if my life depended on it.
Garfield! Come on in, Garfield. Time to carve the bird.
Bird? Carve the bird? No! No, no, no!
I don't understand the cat. I don't try. I just let him live here.